Well, I mentioned a little bit in the notices this morning. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at, on our Bible studies on Tuesday nights, where we fit into God's purpose and God's plan in the body of Christ. And although it's not part of the study, well, I've not intended it to be part of the study, I want us to just look at an account this morning and look at it in the light of our giftings and our abilities and the things that we've got and giving them to God. So if you've got Bibles with you this morning, you want to turn to Mark's Gospel chapter 6. I want to read a very familiar account, and actually it's an account that I believe is so important. And I'll tell you the reason why I think it's important is because every single one of the four gospel writers record it in their writings. There aren't many accounts in the gospels which all four of the gospel writers mention, but this is one of them. And it's found Mark 6, we're going to start reading at verse 32, and just finish at the end of verse 44. And you'll know the story, it's quite a familiar one. It says, so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, that's Jesus, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Now when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send the people away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But Jesus answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to Jesus, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now there in that account we see Jesus begins to teach a large multitude of people. And he's teaching them and he's explaining the scriptures to them. And it begins to get towards the end of the day, it begins to get late. And his disciples, they come to him and suggest that, Jesus, come on, it's time to shut the meeting now. It's time to say the closing prayer. You know, come on, you've been teaching all day. The people are tired, the people are hungry. You know, they've got to send them away to get something to eat. You know what people are like? They like it in church. They were no different in Jesus. You know, come on, look at their... Well, they didn't have watches. But, you know, come on, it's getting late. Look, come on, this meeting's gone on long enough now. You preach too long. So send them away. Go and get them so they can go and get something to eat. But then Jesus responded to that, and he switched it completely around. Rather than saying, okay, well, let's dismiss the meeting, let's go. And he says, okay, he says, let's have a meal. He says, give them something to eat. If that's your concern for the people, give them what they want. Now, I don't think the disciples were quite expecting that, but nevertheless, that's what Jesus did. You know, very often you get that in the work of God. You know, you get a lot of people come and say, well, you know, you should do this, or you should do that. You should fit into a mould or a pattern and things. And what Jesus very often does, he says, so when you begin to say, well, God, you should do this, you should do that, you know, you should do this and work this, God says, okay, you do it. You do it. He turns the responsibility around and he puts the responsibility on the person that comes up with the plan. So the disciples came and they said, look, Jesus, you've got to send these people away so they can get food. Jesus said, okay, he says, you give them something to eat. You feed them. I think there's a lot of the other scriptures it says that lest they faint or something else on the way. You know, send them away to get something to eat, lest they faint on their journey. You know, you give them something to eat. And I like what the disciples answer to Jesus here. Jesus says, go give them something to eat. You give them something. And they come to him and says, well, Jesus, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread? In other words, what they're saying is, now where are we going to get bread at this time of the day? You know, even if we've got, which I'm guessing they probably did have, which is why they said it, even if we've got 200 denarii, is that going to be enough to buy bread for everybody? Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, because in other scripture and elsewhere in the scriptures, we're taught that one denarius was equivalent to a day's wage. And here, the disciples say, look, even if we had 200 denarii worth of bread, is that going to be sufficient to feed these people? Now, where are we going to get bread with this money that we've got? Where are we going to get bread at this time of the day? In the Gospels of Matthew and John, it puts it like this. It says, we haven't got enough. We haven't got enough bread to give them. Where are we going to get bread? We haven't got enough bread to feed the people with. We're not even... Even if we could afford to buy the bread, it still wouldn't be enough to feed them. And then, where are we going to get bread at this hour of the day? They came up with a lot of things as to why they couldn't do what Jesus told them to do. So then Jesus asked them a question, and this is the question I want us to consider this morning. Bearing in mind, I want us to look at it with this, from a serving God, you know, giving God our gifts, our abilities, our talents, and other things that we've got. And he says, how many loaves do you have? I like to think that perhaps a little bit more was said on this occasion. It wasn't just these as it's recorded in the script. This is just how they've interpreted. I like to think that Jesus says, well, we haven't got enough bread, you know, 200 denarii worth of that we got in the kitty. That's not going to be enough to buy bread for all these people. Don't forget, there was over 5,000 of them. The Bible tells us there was 5,000 men. And most people agree that the women and children were extra on top of that. So where are we going, even if we've got this money, they say, where are we going to get the bread from? Jesus asked, and I like to think Jesus put it like this. Well, how many loaves do you actually have? How much have you actually got? What have you got available to you right now? And he says, well, go and find out. Go and see. He says, when you found out, come back and let me know. You know, and that question's going to come up time and again. I've got just a few accounts I want us to go to this morning. How many loaves do you... What actually have you got? That is the question. What have you got? And they said, well, they went and found out, and they came back and said, well, we've got 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. In John's Gospel, we're told that this belonged to a little boy, a young lad, who brought it. It was his lunch. It's what he'd brought with him. What his mother packed up for him. We just got 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. And they asked Jesus on another occasion. I think it's John's Gospel. He says, but what are they among so many? All we've got is this. This boy had lunch just for himself. That's all he had. He had enough lunch just to feed himself. 5 small mini rolls of bread. 2 small fish. Just enough to make himself a fish sandwich. His mother had packed it up to feed him. All he had was enough for his own need. But he willingly gave it to Jesus. Now, we're told, and we know this, that 5,000 people were fed and satisfied. And they ate and ate until they were full. How do I know that? Because it says so in the scriptures in verse 42. It says, they all ate and were filled. They all ate and were filled. That means they'd eaten until they could eat no more. And then there's something else that the Bible tells us. It says that in verse 14, it says they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Not only had the people eaten well and they were filled, but there were leftovers. There were leftovers. And you only get leftovers when people have had enough. And they've had sufficient. If people were hungry, they would have eaten it all. But they ate, they all filled, they all had sufficient, they all had enough to feed them, to satisfy them, and still there was loads of leftovers. So we know they were satisfied. You know those disciples, yes, they came and said, well, we've only got 5 loaves. Now, where are we going to get the money to buy bread? Where are we going to go and buy bread at this time? You know, what shop would even stock in that amount of bread? Enough to feed a crowd this big? Then they said, when they was told to go and find out, they said, well, we've only got 5 small loaves, we've got 2 small fish. He said, but that's not enough. You know, these disciples came up with all the excuses. I can't do this. I can't give that. I can't. Because I'm not trained in this. I'm not trained in that. You know, that's the sort of excuses we give today when it comes to working for God. I can't do that. Why have you asked me to do that? I remember I won't mention any names, but I remember there was a time in church if you ask someone to pray or you ask someone to read the scripture, I can't do that. Why can't you? Or we want to bring an offering and bless something. Well, I can't give that sort of money. I've got to pay the rent. I've got to pay the mortgage. I've got to buy food for the family. I can't do that. I remember one time we were going out and after we're going out track leafly, and I've mentioned this before, and if you've heard it before, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it again. But we were going out track distribution leaflet in, and we were arranging it on the Sunday, I think it was after the service, when we were going to go out, and one of the people came up to me, and because I was leading it, heading it up, and so that's okay. He says, what happens if it rains? I said, well, we're going to get wet. I don't know what she wanted me to say at the time. There was a lady. There was this, well, we'll just call it off and we'll go home and stay at home in the warm. I said, no, we get wet. If it rains, we get wet. But I'm not trained for that. I can't do that. And that's the sort of excuses we give. The what God wants us to, he asks us, he says, what have you got? He's not asking us what, not asking us to do the impossible. He just says, what have you got? That's what he asked the disciples. What have you already got? Now let's go to another person in the scriptures. There's three of them I want to look at. One was those disciples. Now I want to look at a widow woman. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Because in this account, in 2 Kings chapter 4, we read about a widow woman. And the fact that she's a widow means that her husband has died. But her husband died leaving loads of debt. He owed a lot of money to the creditors. And this woman had no way, no physical means to pay off the debt. No, the debt wasn't cancelled when the husband died. It became her debt. And she had no way to pay it. She had no physical means, she had no money in the house that she could, she had nothing really that she could sell and raise the funds, but you know, the bailiffs came knocking on the door, and or the creditors it was, and they wanted to take her two sons away. They said, we're going to take your sons, if you can't pay up the debt, well, your sons come and work for us. You know, they can come and be our slaves, and that way your debt will be cleared and settled. You know, but the man of God, the prophet Elisha, was nearby. And so she began to take, she took her problem to the prophet and asked for his advice. Now what should I do? She says, look, it says in verse 1, it says, she says, your servant, my husband is dead. She speaks to Elisha. It says, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And now the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. And Elisha asks her the question. He says, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Now there, this woman was in a problem. You know, she's got no money to pay the debt. So she goes to the prophet, and the prophet asks the question. He says, well, what have you actually got? Same question that Jesus asked the disciples. What have you actually got? She says, I have nothing. He said, the only thing I've got is a small jar of oil. Just a small jar of oil. That's all there is in the house. What we soon find is, you read through, I don't want to take the time to go through and read the it's only the first few verses there in the chapter, but if you look at it, you'll see in verse 3 it says, the prophet told her, well, this is what I want you to do. Listen to what the man of God says. So I want you to go and borrow as many vessels, as many containers, as many jars, as many jugs, as many pitchers. Gather them from everywhere, from your neighbours, from everybody that you know. Don't just gather a few of them, gather loads and loads. Borrow them. He says, and then when you've come in, he says, when you've got all the vessels, you've got as many as you can possibly get, shut your door. And he said, I want you to take that oil that you've got, that little jar of oil. He says, and begin to fill these empty vessels. Then I don't know what this woman thought. Maybe she thought the prophet had gone mad. But she did what she was told. She surrendered this jar of oil to the words of the prophet. And as she did so, God began to multiply the oil in the jar. And as she poured it out, she filled one of the jugs. And then she pushed that aside, and she got another one, and she filled that. And soon she filled every jar, every jug, every pitcher, every container, anything that would hold the oil, she filled. Because God was multiplying the oil. And there wasn't an empty vessel in the whole of the neighborhood, because this woman had filled everyone. And the moment she filled the last one, she asked her son to go and get another one. He said, Mommy, he said, we haven't got any more. He said, that was the last one. And as soon as that happened, the oil stopped flowing. And then she told the man of God, she came and said, well, this is what's happened. We filled every jar, every vessel with oil. And now the prophet says, well, they said, I want you to go and sell all the oil. Sell it all. He says, pay off the debt. He says, live off the rest. You know, that's what that woman did. Naturally, in fact, this woman became Israel's first oil baron. Now, she had so much oil. She became, she paid off the debt, and she lived very comfortably for the rest of her life. She became a very, very wealthy woman, selling all this oil. We may not have very much. We may not be very much. We may not consider ourselves very much. But God uses what we have. He doesn't ask us for what we don't have. He asks, whenever he calls us, he says, well, what have you actually got? You know, we can only increase in an area by using what we have. Now, what do I mean? Well, if it's our faith. You know, if you want to increase your faith, you know how you increase your faith? You use it. You exercise your faith. You know, when you see your faith working on something little, it grows a bit. Then you move to something a bit bigger. And you see that happening and it grows a bit more. You know, it grows and increases by being used. It's the same with things like love. If you want more love, you've got to start showing love, walking in love. If you want to be, you want more grace and mercy, start showing more mercy. Start extending it. Start using what you've already got, and you'll soon see it starts to grow and increase. It's not just in the spiritual realm, it's the same in the physical. You know, if you want to strengthen your muscles or increase your strength in that area, you've got to start using them. You know, a few months ago, I went to see a physiotherapist, because I'd done damage to my arm, my shoulder, and I went to see him. You know, he began to tell me, he said, the problem is, he says, Peter, he said, because people get an injury like that, and they think they should rest it. He says, well, they shouldn't rest it, they should use it. Because using it, it gets stronger. When you rest it, it's okay to rest for a while. You know, if it's when it first happens, and the doctor will often tell you that, well, just go home and rest. Take it easy. But after a while, you mustn't keep resting, because if you rest it, it gets weaker, and it gets weaker, and then you can't use it at all. But he says, if you want it to get stronger, he says, you've got to start using it. So he said, the physiotherapist says, look, he says, I'm going to put you on a course of exercises. No medication, just exercises. He says, do those exercises, and it'll get stronger. Well, I did. Now, I've stopped doing the exercise, and it started to get a bit of a problem again. So I've got to go back and pick up the exercises. But if you stop exercising it, it gets weaker. But if you start to use it, they get stronger. It's the same with our gifts. If we've got gifts, I was thinking about this morning. Many of you know, I can play the guitar and I can play the keyboards. But I was thinking, well, when was the last time I played keyboards in the church here? I know when it was. You may not remember, but I know when it was. I used to play it all the time in Gorefield, and we moved here 2 years ago. We moved into this hall, and I've only played it once since in this hall. And I got my keyboard out at home a few weeks ago and got it plugged in and set off. And you know, I began to get up and I played it. It's in my bedroom at the moment. I thought, oh, I'm so rusty. I was playing wrong notes, I was hitting duff notes, my fingers weren't moving on the keys very well. And do you know why? Because I haven't exercised the talent. I haven't used the talent. And you only get stronger in something if you use it. Now I'm a bit better today than I was a few weeks ago, because I've done a bit of practicing. But I'm okay on the guitar, because I play that all the time. But the keyboards I'd let slip a bit. But although I haven't forgotten, you know, you're not as efficient as or proficient as he used to be. And it's the same in any gift that we've got. If we don't use it, we let it lie dormant. It becomes rusty, it becomes stiff. You only increase by using it. So what have you got? Well, use what you have. You know, that's it's the same in the area of finances and giving. You know, a lot of people think that if they want to be blessed of God and they want to have money to be able to do things like, I don't know, like go on a mission trip or something like that. Well, I've got to save up the money. I've got to save it up. I've got to keep it back. Well, that's when you start saving and start hoarding and start gathering, you don't increase. The Bible shows us how we increase by giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's how we increase. We start to use what we have. So when we surrender it to God, and say, God, use this. It's not a lot. I haven't got a lot. It's just like a little jar of oil. I haven't got much, but I give it to you. It's like these 5 loaves and 2 fish. They're not much, but I give them to you. You know, God begins to multiply. Multiply the loaves and the fish, so that they fed 5,000. He multiplied the oil in the jar, so that it filled all the vessels. You know, we increase by using what we've got. Let's go to one more person in the scriptures this morning, just to finish with. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 4, we're going to look at Moses. In Exodus chapter 4. Now Moses was a keeper of his father-in-law's sheep. Moses had spent 40 years in the wilderness looking after these sheep. And in chapter 3 of Exodus, we see that he has an amazing encounter with God at the burning bush. And at the burning bush, God begins to tell him, he says, look, I want you to go back into Egypt. I want you to go and take yourself before the Pharaoh. He says, I want you to speak to Pharaoh and tell him that he's got to let God's people go because they want to come up and what? I've got a plan for my people. I want to bring my people out of Egypt. I want to bring them into the land that I've promised to bring them into. He says, and I need you, Moses, to go to Egypt and confront Pharaoh. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answers God and says this. He says, supposing they don't believe me, suppose they don't listen to my voice. Suppose they say that the Lord has not appeared to him or appeared to you. You know, Moses, just like the others, and just like the disciples did, you know, where are we going to get bread at this time of the night? You know, even if we've got the money, it's not going to be enough to buy bread for everybody. Moses is, he starts saying, look, he says, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if they come and say, well, God hasn't chosen you for that. Or God hasn't called you to this. Or God's not wanting you to do this or not wanting you to do that. And God said to him, he says, look, he says, what have you got in your hand? Or what's that in your hand? What have you got? And he said, what he was holding on to was, he's still holding on to his shepherd's staff, his rod. And then God said, well, he says, take that rod. I want you to throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, just as God told him to. And as it hit the ground, that rod turned into a snake. And I'm sure the Bible says this, it says he fled. Oh, he says, I'm not going near that. Maybe you've been watching this program at the jungle over the last few weeks. There's been some things on there, and some of the people on that program, they said, I don't want to go near the rats, I don't want to go near the snakes, I don't want to go near these things. Moses says, look, he says, don't worry about the snake. He says, grab the snake by the tail. And Moses, does anybody like snakes? he picked down and he picked this snake up by the tail. As soon as he put his hand on it, it became a rod again. What have you got in your hand. You know, that rod became Moses' sign of his authority. Wherever he went, that rod went with him. That was the... He looked at that rod and said, this is, God's called me. That's my sign, my authority. You know, what have you got? Whatever you've got, use it for God. I don't know whether you caught on to something over these three accounts in the scriptures. God asks Moses, what have you got in your hand? He asked the widow woman, what have you got in your house? He asked the disciples, he says, well, what actually have you got available to you? And something that happened, you'll see, when Moses threw the rod down, it became a snake. When the woman poured the oil out, it multiplied and filled every jar. When the disciples handed the bread and the fish out to the people, it multiplied as they gave it out. You know, all these miracles were performed in the hands of the people that did them. It wasn't in the hands. You know, yes, Jesus blessed the loaves. Yes, Jesus, it was the power of God upon the disciples. But it wasn't Jesus that did it. It was the disciples. Jesus blessed it. He gave it to the disciples. And it says the disciples gave it to the crowd. He said, well, there's some for you. There's some for you. There's some for you. And they went through the whole crowd doing that. Because if Jesus had blessed it, they wouldn't have been able to carry it. If it happened at Jesus' hand, they wouldn't have been able to carry all the bread. But it happened in their hands. As they took their chunk of bread, and they began to give it out. It began to multiply, so it fed everybody. It was as the woman began to pour the oil. It wasn't the prophet did the pouring, it was the woman. She poured the oil into the jars, and it multiplied. Yes, God, the power of God was upon her. You know, God's anointing was upon the oil, and it was multiplied as she did it. It was Moses that threw the rod down. And you'll see through the scriptures, if you take time to look through the account of the Israelites, you'll see that Moses used that rod time and time again. It was the rod he held over the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parted. It was the rod that was he used to strike the rock of Horeb, and that drinking water came out of it. It was his rod that he used, and he used it on many occasions. There's another account in the scriptures, we're not going to go there now, but I think you'll know it very well. It's where Jesus is at the wedding with his disciples, and they've run out of wine. Well, Jesus told the servants at the wedding, he says, look, fill the water pots with water. And when they did what he said, he says, now I want you to take some out and hand it to the master of the feast. And as they took it out, they handed it to the master, that's when the water changed into wine. It didn't change into wine in the jug, in the vessel. It changed as they drew it out and gave it to him. It happened in the hands of the servants. Yes, the power of God was upon it because Jesus was there, but Jesus didn't actually do it. They drew it out. They filled the water pots. They drew it out. They gave it to the master of the feast. What have you got? What have I got? Because faith in action activates the power and the anointing of God. When we put our faith into operation, that's what activates God's power. That's what activates the anointing of God. When we use what we've got, when we give to God what we've got. Now, it might not be much. It might be like, you might feel like those disciples, well, what I've got to offer is so little. You might be like the little widow woman that says, well, I've got nothing at all to give except this. There was another woman in the Bible that was commended of Jesus because she didn't have very much at all, but she put it into the treasury. And the Bible calls her that widow with the two mites or the two copper coins. It wasn't It was nothing. Really, in value, it was nothing. But because it was all she had and she gave it to God, she surrendered. Jesus said, look, she's given more because she's given everything she's got. She surrendered everything she had to Jesus. And all God says, well, what actually have you got? Now, we've all got things. We could all do things. We might not all be preachers. We might not all be musicians. We may not all be business-brained entrepreneurs. But whatever we have got, if we give it to God, He'll take the very little. He'll add His anointing to it. He'll back it up with His power. And it will do the job that needs to be done. So the question from God this morning is this. What have you actually got? What have you got in your hand? What can you do? What can you use for Him? What can you give to Him? Now let's keep that in our hearts, our thoughts, as we consider where we fit into God's purpose and God's plan. Because God's only looking for, He's not asking us to give what we haven't got. He's not asking us to do what we're not able to do. He just says, what have you got? What can you do? Whatever you do, do it. That's what we read on Tuesday night, wasn't it, from Romans. You know, if your gift is preaching or prophecy, then do it in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, if it's giving, if it's teaching, if it's showing mercy and kindness, do it in accordance with your faith. Just do whatever you've got. Give whatever you've got to God. And let Him use it. And God will increase you. Maybe your gift in, I'm not trying to put ideas into your head, but maybe it might just be, I spoke about this man, you know, if you remember, at the church where we were going in Mansfield, that all he could do, he wasn't a preacher, he wasn't a musician, he didn't do anything, he didn't drive, he didn't, you know, they asked me on occasions to drive the minibus and pick people up. They asked me to preach. Got involved with the young people. But this man, all he did was he unlocked the church. He welcomed people in. He stood at the door, shook their hand, gave them the hymn book, opened the door for them. You know, perhaps if they were visitors, showed them where to sit. He gave that to God, and God blessed him for it. Now whatever we've got, let's do it as unto the Lord this morning. Let's give Him. Don't think it insignificant, don't think it too small, don't think it, well, that's not going to be good enough. Surrender it to God. Allow Him to use you in whatever way He chooses. Because the whole church will benefit. We'll all grow together. We'll all be blessed. We'll all be encouraged. Amen. That's all I've got for you today. Praise God. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Lord, the opportunity to work for You. Lord, the opportunity to do, Lord, what You're calling us to do. Lord, maybe we feel like the disciples and that widow woman that, Lord, what we've got is just not good enough. Lord, we may feel, Lord, like Moses, Lord, that, Lord, we are so insignificant in Your plan and Your purpose. But Lord, as we've seen this morning, whatever we've got, Lord, whether it's, Lord, in the case of that widow woman, that all she had was just a little bit of oil in her house that she could surrender to You, Lord, You'd use that, Lord, to, Lord, make her a multimillionaire. Lord, to bless, Lord, the work of her hands. Lord, the disciples brought those 5 loaves and those 2 fish to You and said, well, that's not enough. Lord, we've got money in the bank that we can use to buy bread, but even that won't be sufficient to feed everybody. But Lord, You showed them, Lord, that when they give what they've actually got, Lord, You're able to multiply and increase it and cause it to be sufficient, Lord, for Your purpose. Lord Moses of old, Lord, looking, Lord, in his life, thinking, well, he can't speak very well. Lord, they perhaps won't believe him. They won't, Lord, listen to him. They won't hearken to him. Lord, they'll even, Lord, say that he's not chosen of you. Father, Lord, we get that. But Lord, help us to see, Lord, what we've got, Lord, you can take and use. Lord, and Lord, as you add your anointing and your power to it, Lord, it serves the purpose for which you've called us to. So Father, Lord, as we surrender to you our giftings, our talents, our abilities, Lord, the things that we can do, Lord, and we use them for your glory. Lord, we know you'll add your power, Lord, and your anointing. Lord, to build up the church. Lord, to cause increase and growth. Lord, to cause blessing. Lord, to come upon each and every one of us. So Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, just bless us this week, we pray. Lord, as we go about our business. Lord, as we do whatever we need to do this week. Father, Lord, that you'll bless the work of our hands. Lord, you'll bless our labour. Lord, you'll bless our coming in and our going out. Father, Lord, that Lord, our homes will be blessed. Lord, we just pray, Lord. Lord, that you'll be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you.